Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to not only the one who speak and speak the very word of yours, so that your children are well fed and knows your will, and more importantly, learn from it, and so that we put what we learn into practice and we be blessed not only in this life and also in the life to come. And Lord, I pray that how you bless your faithful servant Paul and speak to him in such a way that he can write down your scripture. And I pray that you do the same to your servant right now and to your children, and so that we want to serve you all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said that as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Can you imagine that, and today, the preacher who preached the word to you is not the one who sit on the throne, is the one from the prison. Will you listen to a prisoner teaching to you? So I want you to write that down right beside as a prisoner, and you write down who Jesus Christ is. You write down Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And he used a prisoner to preach to us. His word and his writing is the Lord's command. So, I don't know. How come Paul was a prisoner? In chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said that he is the prisoner of Christ Jesus. For the sake of you Gentile. So he suffer is not because he sins against God. He suffer for righteous sake. He suffer for the sake of you Gentile. And mention it three times. Chapter 3, verse 1, for you. Chapter 3, verse 2, God given him the grace for you. And then in verse 13, my suffering is for you, and which are your glory. Brother and sister, I pray that today, when you read the scripture, you realize how God used his servant and transformed his life. But there are a lot of apostles, like Apostle John, Apostle Peter, they are still alive. And how come Jesus Christ did not use them to write the book of Ephesians? And you and I know that. Who is the pastor of the church of Ephesus? We know that is Timothy. When he suffered, he threw the towel. He said, I don't want to be a pastor at the church of Ephesus anymore. So that's why Paul has to encourage his co-worker and write the 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And you and I know that in the first church of Asia Minor, as it is recorded in the 2nd chapter and 3rd chapter of the book of Revelation, Apostle John used to be a pastor of the church of Ephesus too. So this church is not an easy church for the minister to minister to them. And this church is in the area that they worship idol. They worship false god. Has a lot of work of the evil spirit. Whoever served there will suffer a lot of pain. And yet, our Lord Jesus Christ used Paul to write this letter to us. And he said in here, chapter 4, verse 1, as prisoner for the Lord. At first, he said that as prisoner for the sake of you Gentile. Now he say, I was locked up for the Lord. Because if he wasn't locked up, if he traveled from one place to another place to preach throughout all that area, he won't have the time to listen to what God has to say to him. Because he was locked up as a prisoner, he can't go anywhere, then he has the opportunity to listen to the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he write down what the Lord want him to write down. He gets strength like that. I want you to write that down right beside prisoner. I told you to write down, it is the Lord's will. It's the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's a wonderful counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. I also want you to write down Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Our Lord Jesus Christ want to give strength to his faithful servant Paul. Where did strength come from? In quietness and in trust is your strength. Our Lord Jesus Christ want Paul to be quiet in the prison. He can talk to him. Brother and sister, according to the book of Job, God can speak to you in a dream. At night, you lie down on the bed, he can speak to you in a dream. In the same books, the book of Job, the Lord can speak to you when you are sick. Because when you are sick, you can go nowhere. You tie down to the bed and you can listen to what God has to say to you. And now, Paul wasn't sick physically. But he was locked up for the Lord so they can hear what God has to say. When he hear the voice of the Lord, he write Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I urge you to live a life worthy of one calling. I read that again. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I want to circle the word calling. What kind of calling that he calling you? calling you have received. First of all, this calling, at first, is calling to the people of Israel. He called Jacob. Your name no longer called Jacob. I change your name. Your name will be called Israel. What kind of calling that we have received? We are Gentile. We have no God, and we have no hope. As it is recorded in chapter 2 of Ephesians, He called you now, you have hope. At first, you have no hope because you have no God. Please turn to chapter 2. Verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigner to the covenant of the promise. You know nothing about the word of the Lord. You are without hope and without God in this world. Now He calls you that you have hope. Turn to chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, I want to circle the word, you may know the hope to which He has called you. Right beside the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This saying is very, very important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You write down Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. The Bible says, to this day, until now. Also say that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, until now, the people of Israel didn't even understand what they're hearing, understand what they're seeing. When they hear the scripture, they have no understanding. Brother and sister, make sure this word doesn't apply to your own life. But to this day, until now, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands. The Lord has not given you eyes that see and ear that hear. You write that down. That kind of person has no God, has no hope, no understanding of the covenant of the promise of God. And they're foreigner. But we're no longer foreigner, right? 1:18, he prayed the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to enlighten you so that you can see, you can hear, and you can understand and know Jesus Christ better. And also know the hope that He has called you. I want you to circle two words. If you don't understand these two words, you don't even understand what you're reading. Circle the word call or calling, and circle the word hope. These are the key words for you to understand what Paul trying to say. I read that one more time, 1:18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. If the eyes of your heart has not been enlightened by the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not know the hope to which he has called you. And all this writing, you read all this, it won't impact your life. And your life won't be changed. I want you to write that down right beside 1:18. You know why? You don't understand. You know why you don't see. You don't. You know why you don't hear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Because of your unbelief, because you don't believe in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, Satan blinded your mind, blinded your eye. Make sure today you come to the church, you see, you hear, you understand, and you also know the work of Satan. Satan is the god of this age, has blinded the mind of unbeliever. He cannot blind the mind of believer. He can only blind the mind of unbeliever. Circle the word unbeliever. Unbeliever is the disobedient child. You write down 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Evil spirit is at work within the mind of the unbeliever. So that's why Satan blinded your mind. I want you to understand the work of Satan. I also want you to understand the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is at work in those who disobey God, at work in those who unbelieve. They don't believe in God's word. And I also want you to write that down. Luke chapter 24, 45. All those apostles, 12 of them, they follow Jesus Christ for so long, 3.5 years already. They still do not understand what Jesus is talking about. So that's why Jesus Christ cannot use them until Jesus Christ opened their mind and opened their heart and opened their ear. Then they can understand the scripture. Make sure you remember Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. You know this is like your condition. And you know 4:4, 2 Corinthians. You know 24:45, what God can help you. You don't understand? You're wasting time to go to the church and you think you are safe? You still don't know God's will? Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord can enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father. If I have no mind to understand God's word, how can I understand his will? How can I know what he expects of me to do? And what does it really mean? I urge you, my brother, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What does it really mean? It has no meaning to your life if you don't understand what kind of calling he called you, what kind of hope you have, right? I want you to make sure you grab that. You get hold of it. You understand. You know why Christians, they don't know? Satan blinded your mind. Your heart, your mind is filled with all kind of garbage, worldly stuff, that you have no room for it. Just like your computer hard drive, it's filled with so much game software that your mind is, you just want to play the game. And there's no room for any new software. You have to reformat that. That thing has to be changed, man. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. You just play the game. I don't want you see Jesus. And then he say to you, I don't know you. I want you to know him, 118, and know him better. When you know him better, you know the calling, his calling can bring you hope. I want you to know what kind of hope he's talking about. First of all, I tell you what's the calling he talked about in Paul's teaching. Okay? He called us from Gentile, right beside calling in here. You write down three Bible verses, Romans 1:5. He called you to the obedience that comes from faith. You have to obey God's word. If you disobey God's word, that is Ephesians 2:2. Satan is at work in your life. He's going to blind your mind, blind your heart, and blind your ear. Make sure you understand that Jesus Christ called you. He used Paul to call you to the obedience that comes from faith. Turn to Romans 1:5. Through Jesus Christ and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people, that people is Gentile, to call people from among all the Gentiles. Call them what? Call them to the obedience that come from faith. Right beside obedience. I don't want to be disobeyed. Because when you disobey God, the evil spirit is at work in you. Ephesians 2:2. He called you not to be influenced, not to be deceived, not to be controlled, not to be destroyed by the evil work. He called you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ. He called you to the obedience that comes from faith. Number two, Romans 1:6. He called you not to belong to yourself anymore. Because when he saved you, he redeemed you, he purchased you, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to who? You belong to the new owner. The new owner is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Master. You don't belong to yourself. If you say you belong to yourself, that means you belong to the devil. You can either serve the devil or you serve Jesus. You have no choice. Where does it say? Romans chapter 6. You either slave to righteousness, that slave to Jesus Christ, serve Jesus, or you slave to your sinfulness. That's the devil. Number three, Romans 1:7. What did the Lord call you? He called you to live a holy life, that you belong to him. What does it mean by holy people? A lot of people, they don't understand. What do you mean by holy people? Holy people mean the same. They mean set apart for the Lord's use. Not used by any person, only used by Jesus Christ. Right beside the saint, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Listen to what Jesus said. Deuteronomy chapter 26, right beside the saint, 1:7, Romans 1:7. You write Deuteronomy chapter 26, 16 to 19. The Lord your God command you this day to follow this decree and law, carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Observe them. That means don't just be the hearer of the word of God. Obey the word of God. That obedience comes from faith. And you have declared this day that the Lord is your God. I want to circle the word declare. I want to circle the word this day. If this day you declare that the Lord is your God, if you declare that you will walk in his way, that means you will obey him, and you will keep his discreet command and law, and you will obey him. As long as you say that with your mouth, declare this day. Circle the word this day. You write down Deuteronomy 29:4. Until this day, you still don't understand God's word. Until this day, you don't hear, you don't see. Why? Because you don't make a declaration to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. You write that down right beside here. When you declare, you write down Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Turn to Romans chapter 10, 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth, confess means declare also. If you declare, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, he's my Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. When you declare, I read that one more time, verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 17, you have declared this day that the Lord is your God. You know the Lord, who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. You write that down. The Lord Jesus Christ is your God, and that you will walk in his way, and you will keep his decree, and you will obey him. You know what happened? When you make that declaration, you make that confession, in verse 18, the Lord will respond to you in this way. The Lord Jesus Christ has also declared this day, circle the word. You declare, and he declare. And this day you declare, and this day he declare to you. Write that down this day. 29:4, Deuteronomy. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understand, or eye that see, or ear that hear. Because to this day, you don't make that declaration, you don't make that confession. Before you leave this place today, make sure you make that declaration to the Lord Jesus. You are my God. And God will say to you, you are my people. And I want you to write that down. When God declared to you, you are my people, it's not good enough. He wants you to be my holy people, because he wants to bless you even more. Holy people mean the same. First of all, we have to make the declaration so that we can become his people. After we become his people, we obey him. Then we become holy people, and we become his treasure possession. We become the apple of his eye. Anyone who touch us, touch Jesus. That's how he blessed you. Verse 18,
When you make that declaration, the Lord Jesus Christ has declared this day that you are his people, you are his treasure possession as he promised, and that you are to keep all his command. And he has declared, and he will set you in praise, in fame, and in honor higher above all the nation he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord as he promised. A people holy to the Lord, you call that, you are called to be saint. 1:7. We are not only his people, we are his holy people. We are his obedient child. And we don't belong to ourselves anymore. You don't live your own life. You live a life worthy of his calling. You're no longer a foreigner. Through the gospel in Christ Jesus, you are member together of one body. You are sharer together in his promise. You are heir together with the people of Israel. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, you are heir, heir of God, co-heir with Christ. Romans 8:16, you are co-heir with Christ. If you are suffering with our Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to share in his glory. Prepare yourself. When you believe in Jesus Christ, prepare yourself to suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you two names, and they are not prepared. You write down John Mark. John Mark, in the book of Acts chapter 12, he is the one who write the book of Mark later on. When he suffer, he say, no way. I believe in Jesus not for supper. So he walk away from Paul. And ever since then, Paul say, I don't want him to be my co-worker because he's not fit for the service. But later on, John Mark changed. And he's chosen by Jesus Christ to write the Gospel of Mark. And Paul said that he's a faithful servant. He repent, he changed. Okay? Make sure we put on the armor of God as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Prepare to suffer for Jesus. That's why Paul say, as prisoner for Christ, as prisoner for you, he's the leader. He write the book. He urge us. If I have to suffer, I suffer, it's for your glory. And you suffer for yourself, it's also your glory. If you suffer with Jesus Christ, you're going to reign with Jesus Christ. You have to compare the present suffering with the future glory that's going to be revealed to you. Then you say, it's okay, I can take it. Brother and sister, don't be timid. When Paul lay hand on Timothy, you write down the second person, is Timothy. Timothy is timid. He's scared. He wants to serve God, but he don't want to serve God with suffering, with affliction. He threw the towel. He said, I don't do it anymore. Paul wrote the first Timothy. He didn't change. Second Timothy, then he was changed. He come back to the church and serve. Brother and sister, you come to the church right now. If you're not willing to be the soldier of Jesus Christ, one of these days, you're going to walk away. Because you're no better than John Mark. you're no better than Timothy. Until you prepare your mind, yeah, I will suffer that. No matter what, no turning back. I follow Jesus. That's why in chapter 4, the main theme is to help you to grow into maturity. When people look at you, they see Christ live in you. When Christ live in you, in all kind of suffering, affliction, and pain, you still follow Jesus. Everybody say? I talk about the calling. I hope you remember. And that kind of calling will bring you hope. He wants you to know the hope that you have because of this calling. I want you to write down the hope. What kind of hope he's talking about? I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There's only one hope. Can anyone know what is in my mind or what is in Paul's mind? One hope. You know what? If you don't study the scripture, you thought you have all kinds of hope, right? But when you study the scripture, he said, it's only one hope. Why? Because one body, one spirit, and one hope. You are called to one hope. Joyce, could you tell me what Paul talked about one hope? You know, if you don't study, the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, we all thought that we have a lot of hope. You know? But now Paul said that it's only one hope. One body, one spirit, and one hope. So what's that one hope he talked about? And then, right beside that one hope, I want you to write that down. Ephesians 1:18. So that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He called you to the obedience that comes from faith. He called you to belong to Jesus Christ. He called you to be the holy people, to be the saint. He called you not to be used by Satan. Holy people mean only used by Jesus Christ. So what's that one hope? He wants you to know that one hope. It looked like in Ephesians, he didn't say that. He just say one hope. Let's take a look at other teaching. Okay? See whether we learn anything. All right? Take a look at Titus. Titus is after Timothy, before the book of Hebrew. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God elect, for the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. I don't see that the Chinese interpretation bring out the meaning of Paul's writing.
Fortunately, we understand English. Paul is a servant of God. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ sent him. Why did Jesus Christ send him? For two things. For the faith, for the knowledge of the truth. Then he talked about the knowledge of the truth. If you know the truth, if you know Jesus Christ, truly know him and know him better, the end result is it leads to godliness. If you truly know Jesus Christ, you're going to live a holy life. You're going to live a godly life. You don't live your Gentile life before. You live a life worthy of his calling. And then in verse 2, he explained. A faith and knowledge, that is in verse 1. That's the faith of God elect, the knowledge of the truth that leads to holiness. These two things, the faith and the knowledge, resting on the hope of eternal life. You write that down. That one hope is the hope of eternal life. That eternal life, God promised you before the beginning of time, before you were even born, before he created the world, and God is the one who does not lie. He tells the truth. So, is that the hope, that one hope, is the hope of eternal life? Now, the Bible says, if there are two or more witnesses, then you believe in it. Take a look at another writing. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. What does it mean by our adoption as son? Our adoption as son means the redemption of your body. What does it mean by the redemption of your body? The redemption of your body means that the Lord restore your soul first. The Lord save your spirit first. The Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 23, verse 3, he restore your soul. He restore your spirit. Before he restore your spirit, you have no communication with God. Once he restore your spirit, you can use your spirit to communicate with God's spirit. So he restores your soul, come first. That is in conformity with Peter's teaching. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. What is the goal of your faith? Is the salvation of your soul. Right beside the salvation of your soul, you write down Psalm 23, verse 3. King David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
Because he restored my soul. He restored my spirit. Once he restored your soul, once he restored your spirit, then you can start communicate with God. That is exactly what God called you to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. God called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ. How can I have fellowship with Jesus Christ? You talk to Jesus and you let Jesus to talk to you. You pray to Jesus and you listen to what he has to say daily. That's what God called you. How can I have fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ? You write that down. Psalm 23 verse 3. He restore your soul. When he restore your soul, restore your spirit, then you start to communicate with God. But your body is dying, your body is decaying, right? To wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our adoption as sonship. That's the redemption of our body. Redemption of our body, that is the hope. We haven't received it. Redemption of our body is the hope of eternal life. Everybody say? And I also write that down in conclusion. I want you to write that down, what it means by the hope. It's one hope. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. We are called to be children of God. Children has to obey their parents. Children of God has to obey God. Then you're not only his people, you are his holy people. You don't belong to yourself anymore, you belong to God. You not use your own life to do your own thing, you use your life to do the work of the Lord. You don't obey your own flesh, you obey the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the children of God. He called you to be like that. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, did not know God. Dear friends, now, circle the word now. That means this day. We are children of God, and what we are has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, when Jesus Christ comes back the second time, that's the time we have the redemption of our body. When he appears, you write that down. Romans chapter 8. Verse 23, when he appear, we will have the redemption of our body. We eagerly wait for our adoption as son. Verse 24, for in this hope, you circle the word the hope, in this hope, the singular, in this hope, one hope, we were saved. First, we are saved in spirit. Later on, we saved in body. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hope for what he already has. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Go back. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. But we know that when he appeared, that appeared the second time in the future, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope, circle the word, this hope, this one hope in him, purify himself just as he is pure. I want to circle the word, this hope, in verse 3, chapter 3, 1 John, and link to chapter 3, verse 2, like Jesus Christ. What's the hope? The one hope is like Jesus Christ. In other words, when people look at you, he didn't see you, like Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life that I live, I no longer live, is Christ live in me. That's, I like Christ. And that's exactly 11, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Follow my example because I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, there's only one body, one spirit, and one hope. What's that one hope? Hannah. What's that one hope? You write that down. That one hope is like Jesus. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he has eternal life. And we resurrected, we have eternal life. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, on that day, the Father called him, today, you are my son. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. On the day he was resurrected, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. God the Father said to me, you are my son. Circle the word, today I have become your father. The moment Jesus Christ was resurrected, God called him, you are my son. The moment when Jesus Christ appeared, we are resurrected. And then what God said to me, you are my son too. That's the hope, one hope. The hope of eternal life. I want you to write that down. The hope of eternal inheritance. The hope of eternal kingship. We can be like Jesus. We can reign forever and ever. Our Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I don't want to read the scripture without understanding. I want you to open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in the scripture. Open our eyes, we can see. We open our ear, we can hear. Open our mind, we can understand. Help us, O God. When we read it, we know what you're talking about. We want to know you better. We want to know the hope that we have because of your calling us. So we will continue to do things according to your calling and help us to be faithful. When we see you face to face, we don't want to see you with an empty hand. We want to see you with a lot of fruit. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.